So hey guys, big conversation time, electric cars. What is happening? You know, every few months I do this. In fact, way back in March of this year, I made a video. Here it is, go check it out, put the link above below, whatever. I made this video and I talked about whether the EV revolution would stall in 2023, this year. I should be some kind of a wizard with a crystal ball, you know, because guess what? Well, I won't say that people are pulling the plug on EVs. I think it's fair to say that we might be blowing a fuse or two. There is definitely some kind of stalling happening. So I think it's time for an update. I think it's time to look at some of the news that's out there, really, relatively recently that's just come out there. There's some major things that are going on in the industry. So, but I will say this. I will say that if you're looking for an anti-EV rant, this is not it. Because I've got to say, I've reviewed a ton of EVs and they're really, really good cars. I'm really enjoying reviewing them. There's a load of these on this channel. You can go check them out. And there's a few more that I'll be doing. And stay tuned for those and keep it locked here for EV reviews. And I'll be involved in some other EV stuff as well. But I think they're great cars. I think they're fantastic and they're just getting better and better. The technology is improving. But the thing is, you've always got to be pragmatic and realistic about people's real-world transport needs and wishes. And of course, you've got to look at basic economics. And I think that would be a good place to start. And we'll start with that right after this. A brown car guy. Brown car guy. Right, so we'll start with Elon Musk. The owner and founder of Tesla. He's here actually, he's here in London. Yeah, he came to see me. No, he didn't come see me. He came to see Rishi because they were having, it was just yesterday, it was on news as of recording this, that they were having a summit on AI and there was a conversation between him and Rishi, which is fascinating. They were talking about AI and Elon Musk was basically saying that AI is going to make all jobs redundant in future and potentially we'll only be working if we choose to. That might sound completely bonkers and possibly quite scary to a lot of people, but I tell you what, as a Trekkie, as a Star Trek fan, I don't find that very scary at all, because that's kind of the future that Star Trek envisioned. Anyway, this is not for this conversation, and that's a complete sidetrack. Maybe I'll talk about that somewhere else or in something else. But anyway, the point is that he's here, and he's had a little bit of a problem. In fact, Tesla has reported a disastrous third quarter earnings. And on the stock market, it's had its lowest quarterly earnings per share in 2 years, falling 10% below already negative analyst forecasts. So it actually underperformed the lowest performance that was anticipated for those shares. So, and this actually, this contracted his net worth by apparently $28 billion. $28 billion. My God, isn't that a lot of money? However, don't go shedding too many tears for Elon Musk, because his actual worth is about, it's over $260 billion. So small change. But anyway, so moving on from that, there is a problem there. And it's interesting because this has given an opportunity for the Toyota boss. What's he now? Because I think he was president of Toyota. I think he stepped down from that role, but he might still be one of the top. He's still got a top role there. I knew it. I've forgotten it. I put it on the screen. But anyway, it's Akio Toyoda. And I think under his leadership with Toyota, under his active hands-on leadership, we've seen a real renaissance with Toyota, with some great cars coming out, you know, from all the GR versions and the 86 and the Supra and what have you. And that's partly because Akio Toyoda is a car guy. He's a car guy's car guy. He's proper petrol head. He races. He used to race in secret at the Nürburgring. This is the guy that, you know, has kind of, I think, rejuvenated Toyota. And, you know, he and one thing I remember he said, I think it was last year in his speech at the, was it the Tokyo Motor Show? Maybe there or somewhere else. But I think he said something I thought was absolutely wonderful. Toyota will leave no car guy behind, is basically what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. Actually, pretty much he said that. And I thought that was a fantastic statement. At the time, he was talking about the fact that they were going to start bringing back parts for Toyota Icons, Toyota classic cars that people are still running. So they're going to start remanufacturing parts so that people can keep them going. So that was brilliant. So, but Toyota is, he's a little bit of an EV skeptic. You know, he's openly confessed. And so this was an opportunity when this happened with Tesla. It wasn't surprising that he all but said, "I told you so." So this is what he said. Now, the thing is, his skepticism, I mean, the skepticism that he has, that's him. That's kind of Toyota. And you can see that it's kind of Toyota because don't forget, whilst Toyota and Honda were the very first at the hybrid party with the Prius and the Insight, respectively, Toyota in particular has been very, very late to the EV party. In fact, they've only just now come out with their full-fledged EV here in the UK market. I just reviewed it. It's on my channel. It's a Toyota BZ4X. I really struggle with that name. I just reviewed it. It's a Toyota RAV4 sized. EV. So you can go check that out. That's on the channel. But that's fully electric. So that's only just come out now, and it just confirms the fact that Toyota have been they've been very cautious about the EV, jumping on the EV bandwagon. And I think with good reason. But what's happening now is that other manufacturers are kind of, I think, coming round to Toyota's way of thinking. So here's a company, for example, Lucid. Lucid is a company, if you've not heard of, it's an American company, Saudi-backed, which is entirely electric, of course. They've only been formed to produce electric cars. This is what they're about. Now, they have actually curtailed their production by 30%. Wowzers, that's quite significant. And then you have General Motors. And General Motors, if you don't know, I mean, General Motors, GM, is one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world, you know, formerly owned Vauxhall here in the UK. And for quite a few years now, they have been going full on with electric cars. So they've been really, really sort of going, this is what we want to do, this is where we're going. But they have just postponed the debut of the Chevrolet Silverado EV, the electric version of the Chevrolet Silverado. Don't forget, trucks are massive. This is a pickup truck. Trucks are massive, massive sellers in America. I think they sell a Ford F-150 every 60 seconds or something like that. I don't know. There's some stat like that. I'll put it on screen. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's crazy. It's the best selling, one of the best selling cars in America, if not the best selling car in America. So the Chevy Silverado is like the rival to that from Chevrolet, and again a big seller. The Ford F-150, I'll come back to that in a minute. It does have an EV version, but they have now put that off. They put off the launch of their Chevy Silverado EV by an entire year. And this is the same company that just put out the Hummer EV. Interesting, huh? What's causing all of this? What's going on? You know, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, the Tesla, the company that we started with, I mean, in one sense, they've had their best year ever because the Tesla Model Y is now actually the world's best-selling car. The world's best-selling car, beating out the usual car that sits in the top spot, which is the Toyota Corolla. Toyota. So you can see that there's obviously, you can see like why Toyota is kind of laughing right now, because you can see that there's some rivalry going on there. I'm sure that would not have pleased Toyota, the biggest car manufacturer in the world for sure, to have been knocked off the top spot by Tesla, upstart Tesla, I should say, because the Corolla is I think overall, historically, is probably sold more cars than any other car on the planet. So, Tesla Model Y, I think even in the last third quarter, I think it's still the best-selling car in the world. And EV sales in general have been rising, and they continue to be on an upward trajectory. But what has happened is that the rate of growth for sales has decelerated. So what I mean by that is the first half of 2023 saw a 49% rise in EV sales compared to the previous year. When you consider the growth, okay, so it's a significant increase, the 49%. So actually, I'm sort of reading off the facts here, so I'm just getting, let me just say that again so I can be clear about that. So in the first half of 2023, it was a 49% rise in EV sales, which on the face of it sounds fantastic, right? That sounds 50% rise. That sounds good, right? But the growth in the previous year was 63%. So do you see what I mean by deceleration? It's still growing, but not as much as it was growing before. And of course, you could go into the realities of what that actually means in terms of on-the-ground sales, because I've done videos here recently where I've talked about, you know, focusing on the UK market, where I've talked about the fact that the EV sales are happening to fleets. not so much to prior buyers. We've seen the growth from figures from SMMT. I've covered it in a previous video. You can check on the SMMT website. But the figures based on the EV growth in the UK are predominantly from EV from fleet sales rather than from private individual sales. Now, why is Tesla losing money despite the fact that it's got the world's best-selling car? Because there's very little profit margin in EVs, because they're so expensive to build, because of the raw materials that go into them. And it didn't help the fact that Tesla earlier this year aggressively cut their prices. And in fact, they sparked something of a price war in the entire EV segment, which actually, you know, is one of the reasons that actually is probably given pause for thought for all the car manufacturers, because suddenly the profit margin shrank considerably because of the cost of building these cars. If you take, and in the case of Tesla, I think the price cut was as much as £9,000. I mean, that's a huge chunk of money that you're taking out of a car. I mean, what's left for the dealer? What's left, you know, what's left for the retailer? So that's not good. And so that would have hurt net revenue for a lot of these people. Certainly for Tesla, it appears to have done that. And that's why they've suffered a loss. Going back to Toyota and Toyodo, Akio Toyodo, I mean, he's always advocated a diversified approach to achieving carbon neutrality. And he's emphasized that electric vehicles are but one path, suggesting continued investment in hydrogen and hybrid cars as well. And it's very, and I've read this before from Toyota, and I think it made a lot of sense, because at one time I remember reading something where he said that we take the lithium, we create the batteries, now we take X amount of lithium, we create X amount of batteries, and then that would give me, say, 10 EVs. However, I could take the same X amount of lithium, take the same amount of battery that I have to make, and I could create, I can't remember exactly, but multiples of that number of EVs when it comes to hybrids. So basically, I could have far more hybrids out there than I would have EVs. The hybrids would be used more, they would be more efficient, they'd be causing less harm to the environment, and they would be using less fuel. So it would make sense. And there's definitely a solid logic in that argument. Now, and I've always said the same, to be honest, like it's something that I've always agreed with. I've said this from day one. I said that, you know, EVs are fantastic. I said this before, I say this again, I continue to maintain this. EVs are brilliant, they are good, they are definitely a great solution for a lot of people in the right circumstances. They're the perfect solution, and they're definitely going to be a part of our EV future. There's just no getting rid of them now. They're there, but it's a mistake to put all of our eggs into the EV basket, because, in fact, I'd say it's dangerously blinkered. And I feel like we've been down this path before, where, you know, just 15, 20 years ago, we were telling everybody, buy diesels. I mean, when I say we, I what I mean is like the government, in fact, literally was telling everybody, buy diesels. They're better for you, better for the environment, better for us, better for everything, better for your pocket, better for, they were saying that, right? And then what happened? Then diesel cars became enemy number one. Ironically, when diesel became when they achieved their biggest efficiency, the Euro 6 diesel, latest model diesels are so good they clean the air as it goes through them. But nobody cares about that now because we've just gone off them. And you know, now they don't want us to buy diesels, and people are not buying diesels. And the trouble is that that makes you wary of going full circle with these things. Because right now the messaging is EV, 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 and you think, well, what if in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years time they go, yeah, about that EV thing, yeah, we changed our minds, you know, and I think a lot of people would be upset about it. But it's a case of, I think, you know, if anybody looks at this logically, there needs to be multiple different approaches to transport solutions in the future. I'll come back to that in a minute. Anyway, and going back to Toyota's thinking, I think other manufacturers, as I've said, are also starting to come around to it. We've talked about Lucid, we've talked about General Motors. Ford, and I remember Ford is one of the people here in the UK when Rishi Sunak changed the 2030 deadline that was here before, which might still come back if Keir Starmer comes back, because he said he'll revert back to it. So the 2030 deadline, what I mean by that is the ban on new ICE cars, internal combustion engine cars, traditional fuel-powered cars. The ban on sales of new models was 2030. It was moved to 2035. Ford were very unhappy about that. You could see why, you know, because they've already invested a lot. They've kind of restructured considerably. They've basically taken the Fiesta off sale, one of their biggest selling cars, because they're moving entirely in this direction. And then this happened. But that was Ford in the UK. Ford in America, I think, is also looking at this now. And Bill Ford, yes, he is a relative of the founder. Bill Ford said, he commented on how the discourse around EVs was becoming heavily politicized. Absolutely correct. This is the trouble. It's like, it's rather than engineers, scientists, innovators, and of course the consumers, basically nurturing and causing the direction of demand for certain products, rather than that's happening, which is market forces, which is what should happen. What's been happening with EVs is the governments have been enforcing it upon people. So it's highly politicized, is what Bill Ford says, and heavily politicized, especially in America, because Joe Biden has been, he's been to, like, I think, was it the Detroit Motor Show? He was on the GM stand. He moved one of these GM trucks about 10 paces or something. He's a car guy, by the way. He's got a classic Corvette. That's not electrified. It's a proper petrol engine classic Corvette he's got. But it's become political, and I think this is what Ford is saying. And they said, let me just continue, it says, the discourse around EVs has become heavily politicized, revealing the societal divides in the adoption of electric mobility. Ford, therefore, has announced a slowdown in the production of its F-150 Lightning pickup. So this is what I referred to earlier, the EV version of pretty much the best-selling car in America, car, truck, whatever you want to call it, the Ford F-150. I mean, literally, like, since I've started this, they probably sold 50 of them. Since you've been watching this, this is how fast these F-150s sell. So, of course, they came up with an electric version. It's called the Lightning. And they've decided to slow down the production of that. Wowzers! That's serious. And actually, they went even further. They then announced, or have just recently announced, a deferral in its $12 billion investment for a new EV manufacturing capacity. Wow. So they've literally throttled back on investing on EV production. The decision underlines the apprehension among customers in North America regarding the premium price tag attached to EVs. And this is the trouble, isn't it? Because they are more expensive. So in addition to the fact that also in America, I think it's an even bigger dilemma because the distances in America are huge. It's a bit like in the Middle East. Temperature can be quite varied. The climate can be quite varied, which can have a negative impact on electric cars in some cases. But the distances are huge, so you do worry about where and when you can charge it, because some of the commuting distances are much higher than they are in places like here, where we constantly moan and cry about range anxiety, but the reality is that people do less than 30 miles a day. So any EV should easily cover that. The cost of buying an EV is a problem everywhere. And even despite the fact that the price war has happened, prices of new cars in general have gone up so much. They're so, so expensive. And this is fundamentally a problem. So, where was I? The company's electric vehicle unit, they called it Ford Model E. So this was their department on focusing on electric cars, reported a substantial loss during the third quarter of this year, almost double from the same period of 2022. Obviously, it's a new unit, it's a developmental unit, it's an R&D unit, so I would expect like any company they wouldn't be expecting it to make profit. They would be expecting it, definitely initially at least, to be making a loss. But when you have that, when it's actually doubling year on year, then they go, oh, whoa, 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 hold on a second here, what's going on? And it's not just car manufacturers. So Hertz, which is one of the biggest rental companies out there, and actually closely associated with Ford as well, they've said that they're really struggling with electrifying their fleet of rental cars, and basically they've cited increased repair costs. That's interesting, isn't it? And we know about repair costs, what's happening here as well, and that the cost. Many people are in a recent discussion that I had on insurance. Again, look back on my channel. Some of the cost of repairing them means that generally the cars get written off instead of repaired. So what Hertz is saying, and you can imagine a rental company having all kinds of trouble with their rental fleet, right? So they've cited increased repair costs and fluctuating resale values due to frequent price changes from manufacturers like Tesla. So refers back to what I said earlier about the fact that Tesla price slash caused the price war. That, of course, then had big implications for the used market as well, especially for EVs. And EVs have seen some of the biggest depreciation this year in the UK compared to regular cars. In fact, funny thing is that, of course, post-pandemic, a lot of the regular ICE cars or normal cars were actually commanding premiums where they never did. Normally, you drive a car off a showroom floor and you lost 30% on it straight away. That wasn't the case. They were actually going for more than they were on retail. That's now stabilized. It's come to normal. But EVs are losing quite a bit of money. So that's why, like, even Hertz, you know, rental company is struggling. Looking at other companies, what else is happening? And we've already mentioned GM, but GM and Honda were going to have a partnership, and they've shelved their $5 billion collaborative plan to develop affordable electric vehicles. So that Honda was going to do that. That's really interesting. And I really wonder where that leaves Honda, because Honda, again, a bit like Toyota, were a little bit late to the party. They were still ahead of Toyota, but slightly late to the party. The Honda E, for example, beautiful little car, lovely, adore that car, but very limited range, so it hasn't really done the business for them. So where does that leave them, with them abandoning this collaborative plan between them and GM? GM has been recalibrating its EV targets to better align with customer demand. The company recently paused production of its bright drop electric commercial vans and revised its target to produce 400,000 electric vehicles by the first half of 2024. This is actually much bigger shock than you can imagine. First the Chevy Silverado, now the idea of the dialing back on the commercial vehicles, realigning their EV targets. The reason I say this is a real big shock is because over the last few years, General Motors has been banging the drum about electric cars. They've been going big on it. You know, they've been really being a prominent advocate in America for EVs. And don't forget, they were amongst the first into the scene with things like the Chevy Bolt and stuff like that. So this is actually quite major. This is a bit of a U-turn, a bit of a handbrake turn. Okay, maybe not quite a turn, but a bit of a handbrake slide, if you like. Just, you know when you handbrake and you just kind of, a little bit of correction on there. So this is what this is, because that's a really significant statement, or really significant change of strategy from one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world, certainly one of the biggest in America. Of course, the other thing that's happening, I don't know if many people are aware of this, but certainly in America, of course, they are aware of this, is that there's an ongoing dispute with the union there, the labor union there, the United Auto Workers. And apparently this has been draining the company of as much as $200 million a week. Wowzers. This is at the moment, it's costing GM $200 million a week just to deal with this. So, of course, if they're losing money on this side and they're not making a ton of money on the EV side either, then you really got to think, oh, man, we got to sit down, we've got to realign our thinking, and that's what they're doing. So overall, like, what's actually happening here? I think that what's happening is that the car companies, the automakers, are realizing that a measured, diverse, and strategic approach is necessary when it comes to EV. So rather than just going all out, crazy, let's just make more and more EVs, because if you build it, they will come. They're not coming. Mercedes-Benz boss Harald Wilman recently said that the EV market is a pretty brutal space. Basically, he was saying that the road ahead for EVs is maybe not as smooth as they've been anticipating. And don't forget, Mercedes has been putting out a lot of EVs, all the EQ models, EQC, EQA, whatever. They've been going big on it as well. So what could this mean for the short and long term for EVs? Well, in the immediate future, I think we may see a recalibration. I think we are seeing. I think it's clearly evident that we are seeing a recalibration of strategies with the major car companies and even some of the smaller ones, you know, because we mentioned Lucid and stuff, right? And automakers are going to proceed more cautiously and possibly start to diversify or go back to diversifying their offerings to go towards hybrids. And maybe the thing that Toyota has been going about, Toyota and Honda, you know, have been persistently trying to sell hydrogen cars. So maybe that might come back again. Alternative fuels, e-fuels, biofuels, Porsche is doing a lot of work in that area. So they may be ahead of the game really now when you think about it. So they're going back to diversifying. I think what this means is that they're going, okay, we focused all of our future strategy on EV. That's going to still be there, but let's start going back to some of these other things as well. I think that's kind of what we're at. It's quite interesting that, what was it? It was Geely and Renault. They're the two that basically collaborated. They're investing nearly $8 billion, in fact, on setting up new plants to actually manufacture hybrid petrol and diesel engines. So that is actually quite an extraordinary thing, and it kind of tallies with some foresightful thinking when it comes to what the rest of the car industry is now thinking. So, but like I said, having said that, I think that those the road that they've embarked upon in terms of developing EVs and engineering EVs, I think that's still there. And I think that's in the longer term, I think most of the car companies are still going to continue to think along those lines. I think what's happening is that they're basically putting off the EV revolution, if you like, a little bit further. A lot of them still think that it's inevitable, so they're still gearing up to that. They're still going to go for that. But I think in the shorter term, in the immediate future, they're going, I think they need to cast their net a little bit wider. Toyota, I think has got it right. If I think about, and it's interesting, I should mention Toyota actually, because Toyota also, despite the fact, when we start to think about foresightful thinking and the longer term thoughts of manufacturers, don't forget that Toyota itself, and I covered this recently, they have partnered with, they've just come out with an EV, but they've partnered with Panasonic, Toyota and Panasonic, because they might actually be the first to reach market with solid-state batteries for cars. And this will be a game changer because these things will be safer, they'll have better range, they'll be quicker to charge, they'll probably be better in every way. But I think they're just looking at how to get the viability of making those for cars down to an acceptable level. So, and the likelihood is that we could be, from what I recall, as soon as 2027, start to see those coming through into Toyotas. So this is not, Toyota is not like saying no to EVs. They're not saying no to EVs. But I think they're saying there could be, it should be part of a solution, and there could be a better way of doing EVs, is I think what they're saying. And I think they've got it right. And I think that when you start to really be pragmatic, and big companies like that, of course, are very pragmatic because they know their market, they know what's happening. So when you start to look at what's happening in the real world, and there was a survey in America, and what this revealed was, whose survey was this? This was from international consultancy Deloitte, did I pronounce that right? And they figured out that only 8% of Americans are actively considering an electric vehicle as their next daily transport. Only 8%. So electric vehicles represent less than 10% of vehicle sales in America. And those sales are concentrated in regions where financial incentives, environmental policies are aggressive. So it's the carrot and stick. So where there's a carrot and stick that's forcing or encouraging people to switch to electric, it's kind of happening. In the rest of America, people are like, nah, stick to my truck. The rest of America lags behind. Only 8% of Americans are considering an EV as their next car. And this compares to 16% in Germany and 27% in China. But of course, I don't know about those Chinese figures. But 16% in Germany, that sounds about right. But still, it's still 16%. That's not even a quarter of all car buyers. It's way less than a fifth. So this is the thing. And it makes sense because the technology itself is still being developed. It's still, and the thing is, as soon as you buy an electric car, even less than a year later, there's a better one out. Because they're just getting better and better and better. The technology will get better, the pricing will get more affordable, and crucially and most importantly, the infrastructure will get better because right now it's not really up to it for a lot of people. And so you can really see these issues out there. You can see the problems that they have. And I think that this is the biggest problem with the way the strategy currently is being formulated around EVs, where we're enforcing it upon people. And that's never a good idea in a market-led society because you've got to. You know, the old thing about, you can bring a horse to water, you can't make it drink it. But the horse has got to want to drink it. And I think this is the thing. If people decide that they want EVs, then you can build them. In the meantime, we keep developing the technology. The fear here, the danger here, I think, is this creating negativity. And you can see a lot of that negativity in some of the comments that I'm sure this video will get, and some of the other platforms will get. And you'll see that negativity, and you'll see how strong and how passionate it is, and you can understand their point of view because a lot of people are I know people that have now done the EV thing and have now moved out of them, I've heard quite a few stories like that. So you can see that, you can understand that. So my, so again, when you look at that sort of scenario, then the danger is that by pushing this EV thing and forcing people into them before they're actually quite ready, before either the consumer is ready or before the car or the vehicle is ready for the consumer, could negatively impact the entire industry. So it's got to be a natural transition. It's got to be a natural transition. People have got to want to move to EVs because they feel that the EV is a better choice for them. This is how it's got to happen. And they've still got to be given a choice. I think people have to be given a choice, you know, because for some people, EVs will just simply never work for them in particular sets of circumstances. But for a lot of people, they would work. For the vast majority of people who live in urban environments, the EV will work, but they will need to be able to charge them. So there's many, many issues here. And I think that the fact that we're seeing the slowdown is indicative of the fact that those issues are coming to the forefront now and need to be tackled, need to be addressed, need to be discussed without, you know, people just going, nah, you're wrong, EVs are great. It's like, EVs are great, but there are issues that we need to address and we need to look at. And I think that's where we're at now. So stay tuned, keep it locked to Brown Car Guy channels. I will be keeping an eye on the entire auto industry, of course. And of course, as you know, I report back to you what I find, what I think, and what I feel. See you in the next video. Brown Car Guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.